listening to The Complete Counselor, the podcast exploring how lawyers can have fulfilling law practices and lives filled with meaning and enjoyment, so you too can be a complete counselor. Hi, everybody. Welcome back again. I'm Gordon Firemark.
And I'm Michael Priwis.
And we're going to give you a few more minutes on how to get your own law practice up and running and how to be successful in a solo or small law firm environment. And today we're going to talk about another tip, constantly networking and marketing for your new firm. So, Mike, first off, I think we ought to sort of talk about how networking and marketing fit in with each other, because they're distinct from each other, but networking really is a strategy for marketing, right?
It is. And it all stems from the fact that you have a service that you provide. And ultimately, when you're a service provider, you're dealing with people. Ultimately, I think these are many different sides of the coin related to relationship building. And ultimately, networking, as we like to use that word, really is about building relationships with people. And ultimately, I would say marketing is more along crafting the message to those people.
Well, I went to Webster's this morning as we were prepping for our call, and here's what I got for networking. It says, the relevant definition, obviously there's computer networking and other, but this definition, the exchange of information or services among individuals, groups, or institutions, specifically the cultivation of productive relationships for employment or business. And that pretty much says it. It's building and nurturing those relationships with everybody you encounter, hopefully, but probably a targeted subset of everybody, so that you're able to convert that into something productive for your business. It may be vendor relationships in some instances, but we're talking about marketing, and so it's going to be referral relationships and direct, you know, turning prospects into leads into clients.
And one of the things I would say about marketing is that it's gotten a bad rap, like lawyering. But ultimately, and I would say this is true for lawyering, when it comes to marketing these days, the most important thing to focus on is authenticity. If you're going into sales mode, you're not gonna network well. You're not going to have build good relationships, and ultimately your message will get lost.
Yeah, I will say, you know, I agree with that statement, and fortunately, we lawyers are pretty comfortable wearing that that negativity of what people think about lawyers. And so converting to marketer is probably not that big of a stretch for us, at least not in terms of our ego and thick skin side of things. Marketing, the definition there, just to tie this up in a bow, marketing is what is defined as the process or technique of promoting, selling, and distributing a product or service. So network marketing is about doing that, selling a product or service, by being a part of a network, by fitting it into your network a bit. And I'm reading a book right now called No BS Direct Marketing. And it talks a lot about, it's by Dan Kennedy, who is a very famous direct marketer, let's put it that way. And it really talks a lot about how to craft an offer with every communication you make. And I think that might be a little overkill, especially for lawyers, where we do have a little sense of dignity and decorum to what we're doing. But I do think there's some value in thinking that this way, that when we're out networking, that it is a marketing activity and there should be some offer, even if it's just an offer to keep in touch or to, you know, send a bit of information or whatever. And again, get them into the process of driving toward whatever it is you want them to do. You're selling them on, it is a sales process. You're selling them on asking for the information or clicking a button if it's an online kind of a thing, or on, you know, having lunch so you can tell them a little bit more about yourself in an informal way and grow that network. So every step of the way, there is some selling that goes on, but a lot of that isn't used car salesman selling. It's, hey, let's get together for lunch. You know, that's an offer that's, you know, unless you really hate the person, you're not going to refuse that, right?
No. And what I would say is that it, another popular term from marketing here, which you hear all the time, better than offer, I think, is call to action. And here, I think leaving with a call to action is a very important skill to develop. And that's in every interaction. That's on a phone call, that's at a lunch, that's at an event. It's on your website. When you're dealing with website marketing, you need to have multiple opportunities for people to act on the information that you were providing to them.
Yeah, unfortunately, that call to action thing is something that's misused a lot in websites, and in law firm websites in particular. Mm-hmm. You know, where every blog post you write ends up with, you know, of course, this is a complicated scenario, and you should really consult with us about, you know, about any legal matter or something like that. And so it's sort of getting hit over the head with that, hey, hire us kind of message. Right. That's not always the right call to action. Hey, for more information about this or anything else you've got, contact us by clicking this or filling out this form and we'll send you more information.
Right.
That's a great call to action
because,
you know, you're giving away something for free.
Yes. More. And I think you touch upon a great point, which is you can't lay it on too thick. If you do that, you're going to turn people off. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, you always have to have in the back of your mind, how am I providing value? How am I adding to this situation? How can I help somebody rather than how can I get you to retain my services?
Yeah. Yeah. So let's talk a little bit more in depth about networking strategies or tactics, I guess you could say. First of all, we got to be clear that networking is not something we do just online or just offline. Every interaction we have is potentially a networking interaction. My own experience, I went to a mechanic. And he was working on the car, and he came and he was taking a little break, and he came in and he was chatting with me. He asked what I do, and I sort of was telling him, oh, is that deal with copyrights and things like that? I said, yeah, exactly. He says, well, my daughter is writing a screenplay, you know. And he asked me a couple of questions, and sure enough, a few days later, she called me. I gave him my business card, and she followed up with me. So, you know, every interaction has the potential to be a business connection. And so it's important to be mindful of that. But again, not hitting over the head with it. I wouldn't have handed him that business card unless he had told me about the daughter writing a screenplay kind of a thing.
I would have.
Yes, you would. I know that. And there's nothing wrong with either approach.
No, but I'm a big believer in actually giving your business card as often as possible. Mm-hmm. You introduce yourself. I think it's okay to hand somebody your business card. And I personally have great business cards, and people always remark how nice they look. And that's important to me. That's marketing. And
yeah, you've created a business card that's also a conversation piece. And I think that's an important component. So you've got something to show off with. You know, we all have our different conversation pieces. So anyway, you know, there is that's the offline world. You're out in the world encountering people, and you know, the people that you view as likely suspects, I guess you can say, you've got an ideal client in your mind. If you encounter that person, of course, that's somebody you want to cultivate a networking relationship with, but also people who are going to, you know, bump up against those folks from time to time. You're going to seek out what we call warm market connectors, folks who are likely to be connected to lots of the people you want to reach. And those are the folks that really need to spend some time and attention on networking with. But then there's also the online world. Let's talk a little bit about how do you go about online networking?
So, and I think you and I have talked about this in the past, but I'm a big proponent of social media, especially Facebook. When I decided to leave my old firm and get started with a new firm, I specifically made an announcement to all of my Facebook friends. And I actually have a large number of Facebook friends, but they're actually categorized. And that's something you can do with Facebook. And they're categorized based on if they're acquaintances, business friends, or close friends. And in this case, it went out to all of my friends, Facebook friends. And I said, first I said that I was planning on leaving and I was looking for suggestions about that. But then I announced the arrival of the law firm and exactly what we're about. And then I started providing really interesting articles on a daily basis related to my practice area. And I had that with my business page, but I also have that with my personal page too. And shortly, you know, very quickly, actually, I started getting people saying, oh, this, it sounds like you deal a lot with intellectual property or contracts. I said, yep. And so I got a lot of referrals. I got a lot of calls and just little questions because people love to ask lawyers questions. But that was one of the first places I went. Another thing I did, and I alluded to this in our conversation about necessities, I really was interested in working with a company called HubSpot. And I did for a while, and it didn't work out too well. But the reason I wanted to work with them is because there are so many metrics, and they're very metrics-oriented and about getting your blog posts and your videos and your podcasts or whatever content you're creating, getting it out there so it's searchable. And so you're dealing with what they call long tail marketing, which is, you know, people put in the strangest question. If you're the one answering that question, your blog on that question pops up. And you can get a lot of these tools. You don't need a HubSpot, which started at $250 a month at the time. You can get a lot of these tools virtually free, where you can see what keywords work, how many times people are seeking these keywords, and how powerful they are. And I think that's important. You know, people denigrate SEO, and rightfully so, because there are a lot of crooked SEO people out there. But that being said, having an idea of the types of questions you would expect people to ask of you, knowing what your practice area is, where your focus is very important, because then you start writing blog articles and putting content out there. It becomes searchable on Google, which I think Google is absolutely an ally in building your online network.
Yeah. And we'll talk about content and search traffic strategies in greater depth at another time. But the point is, you're putting stuff out there to attract an audience and then engaging with that audience. You can do that on Facebook. You can do that on LinkedIn by posting articles or whatever there. You can do it on services like Twitter and Pinterest by sort of curating content, including some of your own along with other people's stuff. And that's a great way to attract an audience and become also sort of an authority in an area.
And don't dismiss Instagram and Snapchat. And the reason I say Snapchat especially is because Snapchat, at this point, it's valued at $25 billion. But there's a good reason for it, because it's kind of a trapped audience. The people pay attention, captive, yes, sorry. it may be 10 seconds, but if it's 10 seconds of useful information, your whole audience is paying attention to it. So if you know that your ideal customer is somebody in his or her 20s or just right out of college or even in college, well, that might be a good place to get started, where I guarantee you don't have that much competition from other attorneys.
Yeah. Well, so the point is that you need to do your marketing and your networking, for that matter, in the places where your likely suspects are going to be found. If you do elder law, it's probably not Snapchat that's going to be effective for you. But if you do student loan debt relief law or something like that, then yeah, dealing with those 20 somethings is probably a great place to be marketing. And if you're doing, you know, if you're clientele is young families, maybe Facebook and Pinterest are the ideal. So you have to be strategic about this. But also in the offline world, same thing goes. It isn't smart to network only in the areas of subjects that you're interested in. You really need to focus on the areas that your clients and lead, you know, your referrers are interested to, so they see you.
So I have a friend who is an immigration attorney, and she goes to, she wears her nicest clothes, her suit, and she goes down to detention centers or jails, and she just stands there. Mm-hmm. And inevitably, many people ask her if she's an attorney, and sure enough, she gets jobs that way. I also, when I was a litigator, every time I went to court, I was in a suit and tie. I looked great. And lay people who had issues, they would always come up to me and ask me what areas of law I was, mm-hmm. I worked in. And it's, if I had worked in those areas of law, I'm sure I would have made it custom and practice every day to go down to the courthouse for at least a couple of hours and just to have conversations. Mm-hmm. And that is a form of networking. I think we feel this urge to do what has been mm-hmm. done, you know, going to bar association dinners
and there's value in those things, but
I'm absolutely just figure out what it is, but also recognize putting in the time is not wasting your time, because you will become adept at understanding what works for you and what doesn't.
I will say that it is important, though, to be strategic about it and to leverage your time as much as possible. And that takes us to sort of effective marketing strategies. You know, whether you're going to that bar association meeting or engaging in a phone calling up a prospect, for example, just to check in and see how they're doing, whatever. That's a one-to-one kind of a thing. And certainly a possibly effective way to use your time. But if you can find ways to make it one-to-many, you achieve leverage. And so instead of just attending a bar event or function, how about going and being the presenter? Now you're talking to a room full of people and again, showcasing an expertise in a particular area. And hopefully you have something to offer at the end of your talk that will attract people to join your tribe in some way or another.
Absolutely. I think that the return on investment for speaking engagements is far greater than networking events. And I think, you know, one of the things that was important to me was becoming very well educated. And I think that's really, that should be important to everybody. That's why you have CLE, but having CLE is not enough. I presented a CLE just a few months ago, and that was wonderful for me. It had many different benefits, not just engaging with other attorneys, but also establishing my authority and also ultimately turning it into a book, ebook, which was helpful. But what was even more helpful for me getting clients, I would have to say, was a speaking engagement with, in this case, a film organization, and then ultimately at a film festival. Mm-hmm. So one presentation begat another. Yeah. And I think that's very important too, is setting up situations where you can be seen as an authority, whether it's with, whether it's more client facing or whether it's more colleague facing, either way, I think that's a very important key to networking.
And the more of that you do, the more you sort of accumulate that authority. And you can, and by the way, every time you do one of these things, whether it's a CLE or whatever, you can announce it publicly, you can brag about it essentially and help position yourself that way. And as you said, you can repurpose the content into other channels as well. One great thing, you talk about a way to get people onto a mailing list or just, you know, to give you some information about them so you can reach out to them again later, is when you give a talk, offer a copy of the slides or a copy of the outline or something like that to anybody who gives you their business card. Or if you're doing it in the online world, like in a webinar, they sign up to join the webinar in the first place, but you can also then sort of follow up with them by asking anybody who wants a copy of this or a recording or a replay. All these things can be what we call lead magnets and get them into the funnel that leads to the sale or the client relationship or whatever relationship it is down the line. And that sort of takes us, I think, to our next item on the list here, is the value of having email. I know you're less of a fan of email and more of a fan of direct messaging. But I think the principle is the same. If you can get the information from the prospect so that they are inviting you to contact them from time to time, they become not a prospect anymore, but a lead. And when you have a lead, you can make them offers from time to time. Now, it's important not to just make offers. You want to curate information and provide value every time. Again, this Dan Kennedy book I'm talking about says provide value, but then make an offer in the same message. And again, if you're not hitting them over the head with it, you know, if it's the get more information or for a copy of the mind map or the infographic or something like that, that's a great way to nurture and get them used to sort of saying yes to things. And then when it's time to hire a lawyer, they remember you, they remember all the great free stuff you gave away, and that works out to your benefit.
And I think this also, it depends on who the attorney is, but if we're talking about, we're truly talking about law practice, there are only so many clients you can have at a given time. I was at a law firm where we had an extraordinary number of clients, but I could tell you stuff about each one of them and feel like I was adequately serving their interests. In my opinion, and this is something that diverges from the traditional online marketing, and this goes with the email, if I were to ask a client, if I were to give a client, let's say, a copy of my book, mm-hmm. You know, they attended a lecture and I gave them an article and I said, if you want a free copy of my book or a PDF of my book, please email me at my email address. And the reason I do that is because I want to start the relationship. Yeah. And if I'm sending them to a website that's just a funnel, mm-hmm. In my opinion, that will come across as less personal. And in actuality, when I have had people email me, I'm like, I'm so, it's a genuine response. Sure. It's like, I'm so glad you took an interest in this. What about this was interesting to you? And it's tailored to that potential mm-hmm. client. I think you can do that as an attorney in a way you can't do that when you're selling on volume, because I think it is your actual fiduciary duty to know who your clients are and to serve their interests at any given time in a meaningful way.
Sure. Now, you've handed a book to somebody and then invited them to make further contact with you. The ball is entirely in their court. You haven't gotten a business card from them or anything like that. So your cost per lead could be mm-hmm. pretty significant in that mm-hmm. arena. And there's nothing wrong with that if your business model is set up for that. My personal approach is I would rather cast a very wide net of a very low barrier to entry offer. Give me your email address and I'm going to give you some free information. And it's mm-hmm. it's on me to make sure that information is attractive to my audience so that they invite further contact. Now I've got their contact information. I can send them a newsletter every week. I know you got my newsletter this morning.
Yes.
And in there, I provide some valuable information. I answer a question. I become a trusted advisor that they can expect to hear from each week. Yes, it's an automated thing and they're getting it by email and all of that, but they're seeing my face every week on that email and they're hearing my voice and they're hearing and reading my message. And then when I do have something to offer, as an example, it's coming up on the end of the year now. We're just entering the fourth quarter. I've said, hey, now's the time to do a sort of business checkup. Make sure your business is on track to close out the year right and start 2017 with a bang. Right. And I'm expecting that I will see a handful of people taking me up on that offer of a business checkup. And if they're existing clients, then they're going to pay me for that business checkup. If they are a new prospect, it's going to be their free consultation.
Right.
So, that's sort of the offer. And I don't think that it's hitting them over the head with anything. But they're getting that because they were on my mailing list, because they responded to something else I offered, which, ask me a question on my YouTube channel, or, I have, 12 different directions that people come into the mailing list. And, I think that's the idea is those little intermediate offers that get them onto that list. So they've paid with their email address, essentially.
Yes. And there's so much value in being able to contact people on a regular basis or a semi-regular basis.
Yeah.
As you know, one of the things that I like to do is I like to send out snail mail things mm-hmm. and handwrite things.
Yeah.
And the reason I do that is because I find that people find that to be really personal and, sure. and they remember me that much more. That being said, I also have a newsletter and I'm mm-hmm. relatively new to the newsletter game. And it did get me some responses from some wonderful people. So
yeah.
I'm not dismissing that in any way.
And what's important to remember is these are not strategies that are mutually exclusive.
No.
You can do one or many of these, and email, I think, is just one of them. Direct mail is what you're talking about. Sending out a handwritten note is a form of direct mail. It's more labor intensive. It's mm-hmm. a little more expensive. And so you have to be more targeted with it. You have to achieve a higher conversion rate is the yes. term marketers use to see the value of that. You're spending more per client. I'm sorry, you're spending more per prospect in hopes of turning them into clients.
And so yes.
This leads to another discussion I want us to have in a future episode about metrics, what to measure mm-hmm. in order to see where your investments are paying off and not. And also just to, you know, what gets measured improves and, law firm growth, I think, depends on that kind of measurement, as tedious and unpleasant as it is to do that measurement.
Right.
And something I'm working very hard on for myself right now. We have a handful of other strategies that we were going to talk about in the marketing context today. Blogging and article writing and webinars and seminars we touched on a little bit. Using video, using podcasting, as well as some approaches for one-to-one marketing. But I think let's save that for another time. We're at about a half hour mark. And we'll wrap up with, you have any final thoughts on networking and marketing all the time?
Yeah, I think you need to really think about who you are and how you want to present yourself. And ultimately, this is not just one. This is going to be slow growth. I think you have to recognize that you may be an attorney, but you are going to spend a lot of time on this. This is absolute essential part of being an attorney, and expecting to just be practicing law is not a reasonable expectation if you're having your own practice.
That's a great point. In fact, I want to submit to everybody to consider that the delivery of legal services is merely a product that we deliver. And if you were a product manufacturer and there was a warehouse of stuff on the shelf, your job is to sell that product. So your job as a lawyer is to get out and get clients and market your services to them. Delivering those services is merely a byproduct of that.
Yeah.
We as lawyers, especially in law, in small practices, really need to remember all the time that we're running a business.
Mm-hmm.
And as much as we enjoy helping our clients and being of service, we can only be of service to the folks who actually hire us to be served, to serve them. And so it's our duty as lawyers, as servants, to go out and find those people and persuade them that we're the right person to help them. And that's the job of marketing and networking.
Sounds great.
And with that, we'll say goodbye and we'll see you again very, very soon.